Good morning, everyone.
Pastor Shiva, lesson 7. What are the main Hindu denominations? Hinduism's primary denominations are Saivism, Vaishnavism, Shaktism, and Smartism. For 2 centuries, Western scholars have struggled to understand India's faith. They found it so vast and varied in its beliefs and practices, ways of worship, that they could not comprehend or describe it. What they didn't realize is that India's Sanatana Dharma, or eternal faith, is a family of religions with 4 principal denominations. For example, seeing so many deities, scholars wrote incorrectly that Hindus have no supreme god. In fact, Hindus all worship a one supreme being, though by different names. For Vaishnavites, Lord Vishnu is God. For Saivites, God is Shiva. For Shaktas, God is Shakti is supreme. For Smartas, who are the most liberal Hindus, the choice of deity is left to the devotee. These strains arose in different geographical and linguistic regions. Each has its own beliefs, scriptures, religious leaders, and monastic traditions. Each has its own temples, festivals, and ways of worship. Some are more focused on devotion and temple worship. Others stress yoga, mantra, and scriptural study. Each has hundreds of millions of followers. All 4 accept the authority of the Vedas and the basic beliefs of karma, dharma, and reincarnation. Much of their culture and tradition is the same. Most Hindus follow the same lineage as their parents and grandparents. As Saivites, we respect all Hindu paths and we may occasionally visit the temples of other Hindu groups. We join in their festivals and honor their religious leaders, but we hold firmly to our Saiva path. We have Gurudeva's quote. Whatever our background, we can and we must maintain our sectarian roots and heritage, cultivate our differences, and become strong within them. Comment on that last point first. Maintain our sectarian roots and heritage. Gurudev is speaking about Hindus having a unity. And many decades ago, when Gurudev spoke about this a lot, there was a strong thought that, well, all Hindus should believe the same. We should all have the same scripture, which, of course, has to be the Bhagavad Gita. We should all worship the same deity. Etc. There was this idea that if we were all the same, we would be united and therefore be stronger. Gurudev is saying, no, no, let's not do that. He created Hindu solidarity, which is, remember, it's a unity in diversity. So that's what he's saying here, that we can be united. We agree on a lot, but we also disagree on a lot. So let's be united by what we agree upon and be strong, but maintain our sectarian differences. We don't have to give them up. Very important point. I have a very simple way of describing this main idea here. In fact, Hindus all worship a one supreme being. What I say is, Hindus believe in a one supreme being. They just don't agree on the name or the nature. But there's only one. And we don't have to agree on the name and the nature. That's the beauty of Hinduism. It's not trying to be a uniformity of belief. It's not trying to say everybody has to believe this way. It's very broad in its acceptance. A couple of stories to illustrate the points in the talk. First one's from the Hindu temple of Greater Atlanta. We were invited there many years ago. A couple of times. The first time was for the Kumbhabhishekam. It's a temple that has two different buildings. So the original building is a temple to Vishnu in the form of Venkateshvara. And then after many years, they created a second building, separate building for the Saivite deities. And it was a Kumbhabhishekam for the Saivite deities. So they thought, well, let's have a Saivite Swami come and talk. Oh, it went very well, the first event. But I ended up moving back and forth from the Vaishnava temple to the Saiva temple and gave most of my talks in the Vaishnava temple. And one of them, to get their attention, get them listening to me, I used the phrase, who is the greater God, Vishnu or Shiva? I think I got all their attention. Oh, better pay attention here. No talking. So even though they're building a Shiva temple, the group is mainly Vaishnava in the Telugu form. Telugu form of Vaishnavism is the worship of Venkateshvara. Has huge number of temples in the U.S., Venkateshvara. So who is the greater God, Shiva or Vishnu? So there I am sitting with my three stripes, you know, in the middle of the Venkateshvara temple. And they say, oh no, he's going to say Shiva. But I said, they are equal. So no one understood that until I explained it. They are equal. Oh, he didn't say Shiva's better. Then I went on to explain why they are equal. Because each is the supreme being to a different Hindu denomination. In other words, if you have one supreme being, one concept of a supreme being and another concept of a supreme being, how can one be superior to the other, right? It's just different descriptions of the supreme being. So that's what I was explaining, that different concepts of the supreme being, therefore we need to say that they're equal. So they were very relieved, and I think I woke them all up. Second story was a professor, must have been a couple of decades ago now. We had a teacher from Baptist University in Texas came. He was on a sabbatical. If I remember the details right, his expertise was in history, but they had him teaching world religion. And he knew he was weak on the Asian Eastern religions. He's Baptist and hadn't really, at that point, this is maybe, what, 3 decades ago or so, there were still not that many Hindus in Texas. Right now, of course, there's quite a few Hindus in Texas. And he came to Hawaii on sabbatical. He went to Oahu to study Buddhism, I believe, for a week, and then he came here for a week to learn more about Hinduism. So, he, you know, nice attitude. He knew he didn't have it all correct, and he wanted to go to the source and learn more about Buddhism and Hinduism. And early on, we found out he was teaching that Hindus believed in a trinity of gods, none of which was supreme, Brahma, Vishnu, and Rudra. And we said, uh-oh. He is approaching Hinduism on the basis of the Puranas, so that's not good. After a few days, he began to understand that we didn't look at it that way here, that as the statement goes, truth is one, sages describe it variously. That's the Vedic statement. And so he was very happy to learn that and went back, but that is a common position, not so much as it used to be, say, 3 decades ago, but still certain textbooks not written by Hindus tend to say that. They're just quoting the Puranic basis of Hinduism. But that's not the way that people believe. Hindus believe that there is a supreme being. They just have different concepts and names. That's our second story. Third story is a good one too. Sometimes I run into it satsangs or temple groups. Hindu youth, and in Hinduism, youth is anyone 30 years of age and younger, in case you don't know. Hindu youth group doesn't cut off at 21. It goes all the way up to 30, a typical Hindu youth group in a temple. And they are concerned about, I'd say, the multiplicity of deities in many temples. Take a look at my note here. Recently I visited, when I wrote this story, two temples. One had 25 shrines and the other had 27 shrines. Each shrine's to a different deity. In some temples, Shirdi Sai Baba was in there along with the deity, Swami Narayan. And in one temple, there's even a shrine for the Jains, to Mahavir. I don't want to leave out the Jains, right? So it's confusing if you don't have an overview concept. You know, look at all these shrines. What am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to worship at all 27 shrines? We went to the Hindu temple of Greater Minnesota, I think it's called, and I think they have 35 shrines. We were there with the temple president, and he said, what I do is I just prostrate right here to all the shrines. One prostration. You can do the same thing if you want to. Don't have to go around the 35 shrines, circumambulate and prostrate. Just prostrate right here. Of course, the temples are trying to be inclusive. They're trying to have a shrine for all the different Hindu groups that are in their area. There's nothing wrong with that. In theory, you know, Gurudeva, of course, would prefer they didn't do that. But anyway, that was their way of encompassing everyone. It's the opposite of Erevan. In Erevan temple, every image is an image of Shiva. There is no deity image in the temple that's not an image of Shiva. So opposite, one deity. Even Ganesha is not in there. When you worship Ganesha, you have to go somewhere else. So we're kind of counterbalancing this. But the point is, it's confusing to the Hindu youth. And why can't we just have one deity? Why can't we have one God? That's what they ask. And so I tell a story about language. Usually this happens in the U.S., but if it doesn't happen in the U.S., then I have to change my story. Say, how many official languages do we have in the United States? Well, of course, one, right? I think pretty soon we'll have two. Spanish will get up there. But it hasn't happened yet. So we still only have one. And then I say, how many official languages are in Canada? Of course, there's two, English and French. Why are they different? Why would the U.S. and Canada, which are right next to each other, not have the same official languages? Because their history is different. So the French had a stronger presence in Canada, obviously, and stronger cultural presence, and so the language stayed. Whereas in the U.S., it didn't happen. Other languages didn't stay. And I ask, well, how many official languages does India have? And I'm surprised. Most groups I talk to, not just the youth, but the adults, don't know. So India has 22 official Indian languages. English is also an official language, so it makes 23. 23 official languages. And then the article goes on to say, that's just the official ones. It has 122 major languages. 122 major languages. So let's just take the 23. Well, it has 23 languages. The U.S. has one language. Why is that? Well, it's because of its history. It's a much older country, right? It started much further in the past. It's been going for thousands of years, not just hundreds of years. And when it started, people are spread out through the Indian subcontinent, and you don't have much travel. Travel's a big deal back then. So groups are much more isolated than we would tend to think. You just don't go from, say, Tamil Nadu up to Rishikesh once a week. You know, there's very little travel. Therefore, diverse languages develop, and a diverse concept of religion develops. It's very natural. So the reason Hinduism has so many deities and different religious traditions is the same as the reason India has so many official languages. Is it's an old country, a huge country, and it started thousands of years ago. Therefore, because there's no travel, all these differences arose. You know, it's like looking at Europe. If you were to look at Europe as a one country, you know, how many languages, how many traditions does it have? Well, that's more like what India is. So it impacts the religion. And that's why there's a diversity, and we need to accept the diversity, but we need to focus also, which of course doesn't apply to us, but it applies to someone who doesn't have a specific tradition within Hinduism, encourage them to focus on one deity. So let's call it Ishta Devata, that approach to the deities. And I guess that could be the last story. This was in Maryland. We've been working with the group there of devotees of the Murugan Temple. Been going every year for 15 years. Watched the kids grow up, go off to college, and some of them now are getting married. So this, I think he was about 14 or 16, a very sincere young man, asked me, "I'm feeling very close to Lord Ganesha. Is it okay if I focus on him and not on the rest of the deities?" Nice question, you know, for a 14, 16-year-old to ask. So I explained, well, yes, it's called Ishta Devata. It's natural to focus on one deity at a time. And if we go to a temple, we don't ignore the other ones. But, you know, we pay our respects to all the deities, even in a temple with 35 shrines, you know, but we focus on the deity that we're trying to get close to. So that's the counterbalance to many deities, is we're not trying to focus on all of them at once. That wouldn't work. We try and get close to one deity at a time, and that's the approach in that tradition. In our tradition, Gurudeva makes it very simple. Start with Lord Ganesha, period. So once you feel close to Lord Ganesha, move on to Lord Murugan. It's not that we don't worship Lord Murugan when we're getting close to Ganesha, but we're trying to get close to one deity at a time, not multiple deities at a time. It doesn't work. And I'm told there's a wonderful chapter on that by Ma Navaratnam in our Loving Ganesha book that I had forgotten about. So it's in the current book, right, too? Oh, if you're wondering about moving from Ganesha to Murugan to Shiva, I had forgotten. Read the book so long ago that there's a chapter in it where Manavaratnam, she wrote a number of books on Yogaswami and Saivism. She has a chapter in our book that we took from her writings on that, moving from one deity to another, so you'd enjoy looking at that. And have a wonderful day. Om Namah Shivaya.